Hey, this is Doug Frank.
Good morning, morning Doug.
It's Mike.
Craig.
Oh. Hi, Craig. It's Mike Johnson. I'm on.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Craig. It's Jerry Rankman.
We'll get started in a minute here, just a minute. Just so everyone knows that this is being recorded, that's why I'm just not going to be talking a lot until we get going here.
Craig, this is Jeff Erdman. I'm on.
Thank you.
Good morning, this is Tammy. I'm Ray, superintendent at Waitsville Central School. I'm on.
Excuse me, I didn't hear the name. What was the name again?
Tammy Emery.
Tammy Emery.
Yes.
I've got a recorder here that it'll be recorded anyways, but we've got someone who's taking minutes here for us.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Good morning. My name is Dr. Craig Clark, and I'm the Executive Director of Allegheny County IDA. And in connection with the project, which is the subject of this public hearing, today I'm holding the public hearing to address citizens, to allow citizens to make a statement for the record relating to the involvement of the agency with the project for the benefit of New York Independent State Route 248 Solar LLC, a state of New York limited liability company. The proposed project consists of the following: the acquisition of an interest in approximately 15-acre portion of approximately 262-acre parcel of land, tax map number 268.1-11.2, located on State Route 248 in the town of Independence. The construction of land of approximately 1.5 megawatt solar energy generating facility, associated electric apertures, and any other required improvements. And the acquisition and installation there and thereof of related fixtures, machinery, equipment, and other personal property. All the foregoing to constitute a solar energy generating facility to be owned and operated by the company. The granting of certain financial assistance with respect to the foregoing, including potential exemptions from certain sales tax and use tax, real property tax, and real estate transfer and mortgage recording taxes, and the lease or sale of the project to the company or such other person as may be designated by the company agreed upon by the agency. I intend to provide some general information of the agency's general authority and public purpose to provide assistance for this project. I'll then open the comment period to receive comments from all present who wish to make a comment on either proposed project or the financial assistance contemplated by the agency. Before discussing the general information and opening the hearing, I'd like to first describe some details of the proposed project. The estimated cost of the proposed project are equal to approximately $3,780,000, and the estimated benefits being considered are described as follows: our sales tax exemption of $211,680, mortgage recording tax exemption of $21,262, a real property tax exemption of $329,459. The provision of Chapter 1030 of laws of 1969 of New York constituting Title I of Article 18-A of the General Municipal Law, Chapter 24 of the Consolidated Laws of New York as amended, and Chapter 99 of the 1973 laws of the State of New York as amended, codified as Section 906-A of said General Municipal Law, authorizes the agency to promote, develop, encourage, and assist in acquiring, constructing, reconstructing, improving, maintaining, equipping, and furnishing and manufacturing, warehousing, research, commercial, industrial facilities, among others. Pursuant to Section 859-A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York, prior to the agency providing any financial assistance of more than $100,000 to any project, the agency must, among other things, must hold a public hearing pursuant to Section 859-A of the Act, which respect to said project. Since the financial assistance to be provided the agency respect to proposed project may exceed $100,000, then prior to any financial assistance, the agency must hold this public hearing. After consideration of the application received from the company, the members of the agency adopted a resolution on January 4, 2021, authorizing the executive director to conduct this public hearing. The executive director of the agency caused notice of the public hearing to be mailed January 25th to the chief executive officer of the Allegheny County, Town of Independence, and the Whitesville School District, published on January 27th in the Spectator. Copies of the notice of the public hearing are available on our website and will not all be read at this time. The comments received today at the public hearing will be presented to the members of the agency at or prior to the meeting of which the members of the agency will consider whether to approve the undertaking of the proposed project. The notice of the public hearing indicated that written comments may be addressed to myself, and no written comments have been received by the agency prior to the public hearing. Does anyone from the, I think you all the introductions at the beginning, there is someone from the company. Is there anybody from the company wants to speak on behalf of the project at this time? If not, I will now open the public hearing at 10 o'clock. What we'll do is we'll make sure that everybody has a chance to speak. And what I ask is that once you've been recognized to speak, please state your name, address, and affiliation for the record to making a public comment. If you could keep to under 3 minutes, that'd be good, and I'll try to notify you before that 3 minutes is up. And at the end of the public hearing, if you've not spoken, if you want to also make sure that you know who's on the phone, if you haven't already told us, I'd like to have a record of who's on the phone. We will make sure that this session runs at least 15 minutes, depending on how many comments we have. So if there's no further comments, I'll start the public hearing right now. So please let me know if you'd like to speak. That's quiet. Does anybody would like to speak?
So this is Jeffrey Erdman.
This is who?
This is David Decker.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, Dave. David Decker.
My question is, you stated that there's, I think, 260 acres, of which they're using 15 acres. Does that mean that this will be expanded in the future, or can it be expanded beyond that?
It would only be expanded, or could be expanded, if you went through this process again.
So there is more acreage there for expansion?
There is more acreage available, but at this time it's only the 15 acres that's being considered, yes.
Right. And then my last question is, the infrastructure that's being put in now, will that be suffice to let some expansion occur, or will the infrastructure have to be changed as well?
They only build this for that particular size project they're putting in.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Jeff Erdman, representing the Whitesville Central School District. And my question is related to the financials and to the real property tax exemption. Could you explain that so that I can understand how that's going to impact our budgeting process for the school district?
Yes, the solar projects we approve. There is no property tax exemption on the property itself. It's only on the equipment that comes onto the site. And so what will happen is you'll end up still getting the full tax benefits and maybe even increase because it will no longer be agricultural land if so designated. And you will get a benefit of $2,500 per megawatt, which will be split through the taxing agencies on an annual basis.
I'm listening to it.
Pardon me?
Did that answer the superintendent's question?
I'm not the superintendent. I'm the board president.
My apologies, sir. This is Dan Spitzer. There's a couple of things to think about it from the point of view of the budget that you mentioned. Pilots do not go are considered funds underneath the tax cap for school districts, so they in effect displace other taxable revenues. Assuming that the company hits its schedule for construction this year, you should expect the first payment under the pilot would be received in September 2022 at the same time that your tax bills would have gone out to them. As Craig mentioned, it will be an increase in taxes paid to the school district and the other entities because of the loss of the agricultural exemption. And that's the IDA's aspect of it. In terms of any private arrangements with the company, we have had school districts around the state go to IDAs and ask them to deviate from the IDA by letting the school enter into educational contribution agreements where they get a one-time payment from the company rather than a pilot over the years for their share of the money. It doesn't affect the other jurisdictions. That is solely between you and the company. If you want to do such an arrangement, I'm happy to assist you working with the company on that, but the IDA is not involved in putting those together. The IDA is required by law to split the payments equally among the jurisdictions, which mostly would go to the school district then as a pilot payment, unless there's an agreed upon deviation. Does that help?
That helps. The pilot is based upon the equipment then and not based upon the property tax.
That's correct.
It's based on the maximum generating capacity of the equipment. That's right. It's not based on the property value.
I have a question. Ross Scott here.
Okay, what's your question, Ross?
Is the total amount that tax dollars will be paid to make this project work, that $2,500 per megawatt or something like that, or is there any other benefits that Renee Solar will receive from either the pilot or any other monies from IDA?
There is no money there. Giving anyone from the IDA, I mean, the only benefit would be the $2,500 they pay. There's no cash involved in this project from the IDA.
The IDA doesn't pay cash, Ross. The IDA grants financial benefits in the form of exemptions. So the IDA's real property exemption only applies to the equipment and is netted against the pilot. But the IDA does not pay anybody anything.
Okay. That clarifies it for me. I probably already knew that, but it's good to get it clear in my mind again. And the total amount of tax dollars that will – it's actually a cash benefit, I understand, isn't it? In the form of an exemption, but it's money that will be transferred from the state to the various persons that get part of the pilot. And that total amount, or the 1.75 megawatts, will be 20, 2,500 per megawatt. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? While we're waiting for another, well, go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, Ross has another question. Will these solar panels be variable pitch controlled to follow the sun, or are they going to be fixed?
I believe they're stationary. Most of them are stationary.
You know, we can, I don't know if anybody from the company is on the phone, but we can relay that question to them and ask them to answer for you at the town hearing. The town answers the, handles the zoning aspects of this, not the IDA. And the company would be best, because a lot of people are switching to trackers now. And if there's no one on the phone from the company, and they may not even have decided yet, because that's all handled by the town in terms of approvals.
Okay, one other question. In case of a power outage, will this, and this project is supplying power at the time of the outage, and it's on a substation that feeds Whitesville, is that correct?
I don't know which substation they're tying into. I assume it's a local substation, but there's several in the area. I'm not sure which one they're tying into.
I think I read that it's called the new Whitesville substation. So my question is, if power is out in the larger region, would this be able to still provide power to Whitesville?
Whether or not you get what's known as distributed energy resources, like local solar and local wind farms, able to maintain power within an area when there's a larger blackout, is a question that really depends on the way that the utility structures the grid and its network and the way the NYISO runs the grid. So the fact, for example, generally generators are shut down when there's a blackout because they don't want people putting power onto the grid that can't go anywhere. It's not safe. There's a balance of power generated and power needed, you know, loads and generation, as you know, and some of the other folks on the phone may not. Whether or not a particular area can be isolated and sort of islanded is the terminology, such that one station can remain operating while other stations on the network go out, I believe is a question that depends on how the utility is set up, how the substation is set up, and generally requires that the ability to island be done without the need for the actual grid. It's known as a microgrid at that point, or a virtual microgrid, where you can in effect continue to use the distribution lines or private distribution lines, and the blackout doesn't affect you. The best example of that is the lights go out, but you have a private generator that kicks on and keeps your power on. In terms of the larger grid, whether a particular DER generator can keep the lights on in a region, more likely they can help get things started again through their black start capabilities, but unlikely to keep Whitesville going just with the solar facilities that are there, unless the whole grid can be islanded in that way.
It seems if we're going to be having more solar farms in the future, that if there's some way that could be encouraged by IDA, it could be of benefit. That's the only thing I was thinking.
The IDA doesn't generally provide benefits to the utilities, and it's the utilities that actually spend the money to do that work. We certainly could support such a thing. There are a number of proceedings currently underway at the Public Service Commission to address precisely that issue. If you go to more intermittent energy sources like wind and solar, how much backup do you need? How much, how do we deal with our existing fossil fuel networks to convert them to more sustainable uses? There is a transmission proceeding underway to look at a lot of the questions that you raised, because one of the goals of DER is to eliminate transmission by not needing long distance transmission lines by having generation locally. So the IDA can assist the utility or any other private company if it's a merchant project in terms of supporting those things. But policy-wise, you should focus on the Public Service Commission, which is dealing with all of those very issues.
Sounds like a good idea. I'll definitely take a look at the PSC website on that.
I have, this is Jerry Reichman from the Town of Independence. I've just contacted Brad Davis here, and I think he will be getting on in just a few minutes here if you want to ask him some specific questions.
Hi, good morning. It's Brad Davis here.
Hey, Brad.
Hi, good morning.
Craig, I think some people, I think Craig had some questions specifically about the project that Brad could answer.
Yeah, the Brad, the one question that came up was whether or not these are stationary or tracking solar arrays.
These will, in all likelihood, be single axis trackers, so they'll just track in one direction. So they won't be dual axis where they. We go north, south, and east, west.
Okay, great. The other question is which substation you're hooking into?
Let's see here, substation. I can find that. That's not a problem.
Sure.
I don't know off the top of my head. But
I know. I understand
see.
You're doing a lot of problems.
Yeah, no, of course. Bear with me for a second.
And while you're looking, the other question, which Dan Spitzer pretty much answered, was whether or not you could use this solar array if there was actually a blackout or a power outage in, to supply power to Whitesville.
No, I don't believe that's possible in this circumstance.
Not that we kind of thought, but Dan went through a long explanation of how that may or may not work.
Okay, we'll just get back to your other question. I think it's the new Whitesville substation.
Okay.
Does that that sound right?
Yeah, that probably sounds right. I think we talked about
okay.
that.
And is the substation that's at pretty much the corner of Casey Road and County 22, is that the new Whitesville substation?
Yes,
I believe so.
I believe so. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's this is quite close. I believe it's only maybe a few hundred yards from the site, and I'm just a little bit east. Yeah, right at the corner there.
Yeah, and that substation is adjacent to another proposed solar farm, the Oya Solar Farm, and I don't know if there's anybody on this call that can answer the question, but it surprised me that the Oya Solar Farm, which is physically adjacent to this substation, does not connect to it. Any explanation for that?
No, they're not on the phone, and there is no explanation I know.
Yeah, so Brad, though, could probably give you an understanding of the basic process. The utilities and the New York ISO do something called an interconnection study, and it has to do with the, in effect, literally how much space is left in the pipe, if you will, how many electrons can be put in. But it's also a first-come, first-served system in terms of who gets that space. So depending on when Brad made his application, he may have taken up most of the remaining space. It may have to do with improvements that the utility is making at the other substations. And I turn to Brad to add to that. But basically, Ross, the interconnection study by the utility is the key part of figuring out where and how you can connect to the grid, regardless of the placement of the actual resource. We're working on one project in Broome County that's actually hooking in two counties over. It's a very large project, but that's where there's ability to hook in.
And I think I had at one point looked for an interconnection study, maybe having to do with the Oya project, come to think of it. But you can't. A citizen looking on the net can't find that very easily, I don't think. I don't think I was able to find anything. I wonder if that's something that IDA could, in the future, make a requirement to be made public.
The cost study? That's generally proprietary information.
Interconnection study. That would
no, it has
show...
nothing to do with the IDA benefits at all. That's not something the IDA looks at, and it's except to the extent it's a seeker in terms of the physical impact. It's a state law requirement, and I don't think that you're actually allowed to do that. There's a concept in the law that was added after 9/11, known as critical impact infrastructure (CII), and you basically have to go through a security clearance even to look at a utility's power plants these days. There's a proceeding that is going on Long Island involving a cable from an offshore wind farm, and if you look in there, you'll see there's a number of rulings where opponents were trying to get the Long Island Power Authority to show them substation details and other details of the interconnection, and the Public Service Commission judge refused to grant it and was upheld. Because of this CII requirement. And Brad, if you have anything to add to that, but I don't think the IDA would have the ability to do that. I don't think the town would have the ability to do that. And in fact, I don't think legally you could do that, because virtually every hack that's gone on in a utility in this country actually came in through a contractor rather than through the utility. And it's a massive problem, and I just don't think that information can be made public. So I don't want to mislead you in terms of your request, because it's beyond the IDA's ability or the town's ability to grant. Brad, did I leave out anything or miss anything?
So, yeah, and I'm sorry, I don't know the names of the people speaking, but the gentleman who just referred to me, yeah, you did an excellent job explaining how we come to understand whether there's capacity or not. And maybe I can just take one step further and elaborate a little bit more, and hopefully that will produce some clarity for the gentleman asking the question. So as far as, you know, your question about how do we determine if there's capacity at a various substation, you're right, this is all very proprietary information. But what there is out there as far as, you know, for our purposes as solar developers, is there are called host capacity maps. And all the utilities in the state have their own version of host capacity maps. And National Grid, which is what this substation belongs to, they actually have an excellent database of information that's publicly available. Some of the other ones that I've worked with are not quite as thorough, and the information isn't updated quite as frequently. But for NACRIT specifically, so what we can do is we can look at, you know, various substations and see if there's, there's a whole host of different criteria that we look at for land, and see if it's, prime agriculture, or if there's wetlands, or if it's, landfill. There's literally dozens of criteria that we evaluate, and also the substation capacity is one of them. So assuming that, you know, we can check all or most of the boxes, then we can do what's called a pre-screen. And so we submit a proposal to National Grid based on the size of the capacity that we think is there, because when I put the caveat there, we think, because this information isn't always up to the date, up to date, up to the minute when we go for a pre-screen request. And so National Grid will take our request. We pay, you know, a few thousand dollars. You know, I think it's about $3,000 for them to go through and you know, do their various capacity checks. And then about a month later, they'll come back with a pre-screen study, and we'll go through that with them over a, you know, a video, you know, phone call where we can, you know, look at the interconnection maps and see what's what. And then if we get positive feedback, then we'll go to the next study, which is called a CSER study. It's a Coordinated Electric System Interconnect Review. So it's a much more in-depth evaluation of our proposal. So we have to have a three-line diagram or a single-line diagram. We have to have a full site plan, layout, the specs of the solar panels, the specs of the inverters, and a whole host of other documents that the utility requires. And this study is quite a bit more expensive. It's generally $10,000 to $15,000 and takes 60 to 90 business days. So much more thorough evaluation. And so after that, we will receive an interconnection study, and that will be with a cost associated with doing the project. So the one we got for this one in Independence, it's about $700,000 interconnection fee. And so then we, you know, take that back, we take the feedback that we've been given, and we determine, okay, is this something we want to move ahead with? You know, we have to look at, obviously, the, you know, financial implications, and then we'll determine, you know, a yay or nay. And then we'll go to the next stage, which is, obviously, the permitting stage with the, you know, municipality, the town, the county, whoever happens to be the jurisdiction with authority. And then we basically get to the stage that we're at right now with the Allegheny County and the Town of Independence, where everything's being reviewed. So hopefully that long-winded explanation clarifies something.
That was great. That was great. It leads me to ask, do you happen to know how you got to connect to the new Whitesville substation, whereas Oya Solar has to pump its juice all the way to Andover, about 7 miles away, to a substation down there?
So I don't know the answer, but I can speculate, and I'm happy to do so, because so I don't know the timing of when Oya applied for an interconnection, but they may have looked at this substation that you say is right across the street from their site and realized that there's not enough, basically, there's not enough capacity at this location to do the size of the project that they want to do, because my understanding is this their project is about 7 megawatts DC, and ours is only 1.75. So ours is, you know, about a third the size of the project. And maybe they determined that, you know, financially it's better to build a much larger project and connect at this other substation that has more capacity and presumably it's going to be a much higher interconnection cost. When you evaluate, you know, the economies of scale when you're doing a project of that size, you know, if their interconnection cost is two or three times the size of ours, then maybe that pencils in for them financially. Like I said, I can only speculate. I don't know. And for our purposes, you may or may not know the family who owns it, but this is a, you know, sizable parcel, I should say. It's about 260 acres, and we're only using up a fraction of a fraction of that for this project. And I know that typically we would have looked at, you know, everybody tries to maximize the size of their projects because that maximizes the, you know, financial benefits. But we looked at it and said, okay, the most we can do with this substation is 1.75 megawatts, so that's what we'll do. And that made sense to us, and that's what we decided to proceed with. Not everybody in the solar game thinks that way. They only want it if they can't do a max deal, they don't want to do any deal. And that's just how they look at their economics.
That's where the 15 acres came in.
Yeah, I would assume. Brad, Dan Spitzer from the IDA. Jerry, as I recall, this actually came up at one of your meetings. Boy is actually doing three projects of 21 megawatts DC total, and the lack of capacity at the new Whitestown was exactly the reason they're going to Andover, not because they had a great desire to spend money building a 7-mile cable, obviously, but because there were three projects. Yeah. Thanks, Jerry.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I should say that Brad will also be at our public hearing in the Town of Independence at 6:30 on Thursday via Zoom. So if there are any other questions, the link is on our website, and it's on our Town of Independence Facebook page.
I'll be on Zoom, and we'll actually have a colleague of mine there in person, as well as our environmental consultant, CNS Engineering. He'll be there in person as well, so we'll be able to have a lot of, you know, thorough conversations about this this week.
Right, perfect.
Yeah, just to wrap up on that 15, why it's 15 acres out of the 260, that is based on the capacity of the substation, right? Not on some desire of the farmer to want to farm more of his property.
Well, it could be a little bit of both. I'll be honest, sir. I don't know your name. I'm sorry.
That's Ross.
Ross. Thanks, Ross. So I wasn't involved in this project at the very beginning. This project has been under development for about 4 years now. And so I got involved in this project about 2 years ago. So I don't know the entire history about those early stage discussions with the landowner. But my understanding is that if we were able to do a bigger project, they would have been happy to do a bigger project, because they own not just this parcel of land, but they are commercial farmers. They own, you know, quite a few parcels of farmland across kind of southwestern New York, and actually live just across the Pennsylvania state line there, and they own farms down there as well. So this was just another means for for revenue for their operations.
Thank you, Brian. Are there any other questions from anybody else at this time? I want to make sure anybody has a chance to ask questions, although the technical discussion is very interesting. Before we go too much further, if someone is not going to ask a question, I would like to make sure that we could at least record who's on this meeting. So if you could let us know who's on the meeting and who's not talked at this time, so we can make sure we record everybody. If you could do that now, I'd appreciate it.
Cindy Dutton, Cuba Patriot. I'm not saying a thing. It's hard to understand. But I'm listening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Cindy.
Yeah.
This is Chris Potter. I'm here as well. Craig.
Chris Potter. Okay. From the Cornell paper.
Yeah.
Ray Barnes.
Barnes?
Fighter Gary Barnes.
Gary Barnes. Anyone
this
else?
This is Tammy Emery, Whitefield Central Superintendent. I'm curious, is this a 15-year pilot?
Yes, that's the proposal. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Tammy Emery.
Ross Scott.
This is Judith Hopkins in here.
Judy Hopkins.
Jerry Reichman, Town of Independence.
Thank you, Jerry.
John Rickey, Cuba. Dave Decker, Cuba.
This is Jeff Erdman. I'm the president of the school board of the Whitesville Central School District.
Do we have everyone?
Casey Howe.
Casey?
Casey Howe, Whitesville.
Whitesville, thank you.
I guess, and you got me, Ross Scott.
Right, got you, Ross. And Dan Spitzer was answering a lot of questions. He's our lawyer on the project. He's from Hodgkin Russ. Anything else someone would like to add at this time? Well, if not, we've had a good technical discussion. I think we've answered some other questions. Brian, I appreciate you being on here. And if there are no further comments, I would propose we close the public hearing unless there are an objection to that.
I'm good. Thank you, Craig.
Okay, thank you.
Craig, then we should call back in for the Great Lakes Cheese public meeting?
Yeah, that won't start till 11 o'clock, yes, the next public hearing, yes.
Okay.
And then that is a different code, different passcode, right?
I have to look.
Same passcode.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. The passcode at that time is 299146, yeah.
Okay. Yes, okay, I got that. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you all soon. We'll close the public hearing at 1039. Thank you for all your time this morning for everybody. Appreciate it.
Bye, all.
Bye.
Thank you, Craig.
Bye-bye. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Craig.
Good discussion.